About afterlife communication from World War I and book Dead Men Talking. About so-called dead, World War I, soldiers helped by their, yes, dead comrades. As science flourished in the years leading up to World War I, religion floundered. Thus, the warring countries were little prepared to deal with the grief and despair that arose from millions of deaths. Apparently, the spirit world took notice, and, while greatly limited in its ability to communicate with us, the spirits managed to get through to more open-minded mourners, providing comfort and solace. Messages, many of them very evidential, came from fallen warriors, through various mediums, telling their loved ones that they were still alive and still with them. This book is an anthology of their communication from the afterlife. Reviewed by Tom Ruffles. Much has been said about the First World War in this the centenary year of its start, but little, at least yet, about the role of spiritualism in the conflict. Michael Tyme has an established reputation in examining aspects of survival of bodily death, and his latest book anthologizes 5 volumes, plus 2 sequels, which claim to consist of communications from those who passed over in the service of their country during the Great War. To the extracts he has contributed an introduction in which he outlines the nature of mediumship, difficulties posed by transmissions between planes, and the possible role of the medium's subconscious in coloring the style of what they transmitted. There is commentary on each selection in which he describes the circumstances of the book's production, and he draws out commonalities between the spirit messages. Gladys Osborne Leonard, one of the most successful mediums of the period, played a role in 3 of the books under consideration, and Tyme discusses her mediumship and her control factor. The chosen texts which have been excerpted are Raymond or Life and Death and Raymond Revised, 1916, by Sir Oliver Lodge, Thy Son Liveth, Messages from a Soldier to His Mother, 1918, by Grace Duffy Boylan, Claude's Book I, 1918, and Claude's Book II, 1920, by L. Gail A. Bamber, Private Dowding, 1917, by Wellesley Tudor Pole, and Rolf S. Life in the Spirit World, c. 1920, by his mother. The 5 communicating spirits were, respectively, Raymond, Bob, Claude, Thomas, and Rolf. The first 4 had been killed during battle, while Rolf had died of pneumonia in a training camp. Method of communication was either transmediumship or automatic writing. The best known of these titles is Lodge's Raymond, which was enormously popular both on first publication and in later years. Lodge was a president of the SPR, prominent in psychical research, and author of a number of books on the subject. The fame of this particular book has overshadowed others of a similar nature which appeared during and after the war. The crucial element of each is the survival of the personality after death. Fundamental to these accounts is the consolation provided to bereaved relatives that their loved ones did not face extinction upon death. In fact, there is no death, merely a transition, and those left behind need not grieve because in due course all will be reunited. In general, the deceased makes a seamless transition, feeling so little discomfort on passing that he cannot at first believe that he is dead. There follows a process in which the strangeness wears off as the individual adjusts to the new situation, which is nothing like the stereotypical images of heaven and hell. It is rather for most a kind of idealized facsimile of Earth, Summerland, in which they can be active in pursuit of their interests, in particular helping those who have come over after them. They can also sometimes help those on Earth, though in a selective way. Bob says that he nudged a soldier to keep him from harm, and when he asked why, he was told that the man he had helped was an inventor whose work would be of importance, which makes one wonder what criteria were used for such assistance when so much talent was wasted in the grinder of war. Even those whose unsatisfactory lives have consigned them to a lower plane have the wherewithal to leave it as they grow in spiritual understanding. The afterlife is couched in Christian terms, and all have the expectation of progressing, as a result of spiritual growth, to higher planes of existence, difficult to describe in terms understandable to those left behind, as they move ever closer to God. If one takes these books at face value, they appear to support the contention that the five individuals made the transition to the afterlife with their personalities intact, and were reporting, under difficult circumstances, what their present situation was like. However, it cannot be assumed that, because the accounts supplied by the discarnate communicators have elements that cohere, this is cumulative evidence their personalities have survived and their descriptions are veridical. Spiritualists and mediums talked and wrote to each other, read the same literature. As a consequence, they could develop a common conception of what life after death might be like, which they then used as the framework for their own mediumistic productions. A common theme is the difficulty in conveying accurate, specific information, and the difficulties mean that it is futile to attempt a point-by-point comparison to try to show that the messages cannot be genuine, because there is no pretense that they are accurate in every detail. When attempting to interpret what they were producing, which might have been couched in symbolic terms, it is plausible that the mediums would have utilized a repertoire of existing knowledge, rather than say something contradicting the image of the afterlife which already existed. Similarly, part of the assessment is the plausibility of the complex descriptions of the afterlife that suggest a degree of familiarity unlikely from newcomers to that sphere, and the possibility exists that the medium is drawing on an existing set of assumptions that have been built up over the years, while time considers the possibility that the ostensible communicator was sometimes a conduit for higher spirits acting in harmony. For the general reader, this is a useful compilation, showing how such texts were popular at a difficult time when so many young men had been lost, their futures snatched away from them. Time is convinced of the reality of these messages and by inference that of the life beyond which they describe, unless one simply does not want to believe in a spirit world, it is difficult to accept Raymond, Bob, Claude, Thomas, and Rolf, the chief communicators in this anthology, as anything other than spirits, p. 30. Critics, on the contrary, may consider what they have to say as banal, stereotyped and more likely to originate in a collective exercise of wishful thinking by medium and sitters than from a discarnate entity. It could be argued that if these accounts were genuine, there would be more interaction with enemy combatants, all superficial differences such as nationalism having been rendered irrelevant. Stories of fraternization with Germans, Austro-Hungarians or Turks are notable by their absence. Claude is unusual in reporting a meeting between English and German soldiers who had killed each other. The Englishman held out his hand. His erstwhile enemy, taking it, said, "What fools we have been." On the other hand, the conflict was so raw that perhaps it would be too much to expect foes to embrace each other completely so soon afterwards. That was work for higher planes. Who can say? As these differing interpretations suggest, it is unlikely that anybody will alter their views on the basis of the evidence presented here. What is important, though, is the lesson that how we progress in the afterlife is determined partly by how we behaved in life. Our beliefs are less important than our actions, and while we are never damned, we will make slower progress if while alive we act in a way that does not abide by clear ethical values and respect for others. If we have led good lives, our spiritual evolution will be the more rapid. It is an assumption that can do no harm, whether or not the five sets of communications gathered here are veridical, and it is a welcome alternative to belief systems, built on ideological subservience, that at their extremes are permeated with violence. Raymond, Bob, Claude, Thomas and Rolf all show us violence's ultimate pointlessness. I recently finished Michael Tyme's book, Dead Men Talking, Afterlife Communication from World War I. The book is a review of channeled messages received from newly fallen soldiers in the Great War. Two of its most interesting features are the variety of messages and views, and the strange mixture of sophisticated accounts of the afterlife with simplistic accounts. But what is fascinating is how these dead soldiers continue to interact with the battlefield, swiftly coming to the aid of comrades who are either dying or have just died. We get a glimpse of what war is like from the point of view of those who just died. Some offer their understanding of the purpose of World War I, from their perspective. and we learn how some soldiers adjusted quickly directly after their deaths and some did not. Those who did, immediately began rescue work for those who were dying in battle. Those who did not were helped with compassion and understanding. Below is the same story from the same war, but told from the other side, the side of the living who experienced the help of these dead soldiers. Put together with the channeled information in Times's book, we have a more complete picture of how dead soldiers work to combat the horrors of war. Sadly, we do not have much of this kind of information from soldiers in later wars, despite the tremendous amount of extraordinary channeling during World War II. So many soldiers today who still suffer from their experiences in wars since Vietnam would be greatly helped if they were more aware of the compassionate otherworldly activity that typically goes on in the battlefield. Insert picture. Book report sells. As science flourished in the years leading up to World War I, religion floundered. Thus, the warring countries were little prepared to deal with the grief and despair that arose from millions of deaths. Apparently, the spirit world took notice, and, while greatly limited in its ability to communicate with us, the spirits managed to get through to more open-minded mourners, providing comfort and solace. Messages, many of them very evidential, came from fallen warriors, through various mediums, telling their loved ones that they were still alive and still with them. This book is an anthology of their communication from the afterlife. Praise for Dead Men Talking. This is an altogether upbeat, reassuring and enlightening book with many insights into discarnate existence from those on the spot. The original texts are interspersed with informative commentary from the author. Michael Time has built up a fine reputation in the past decade or so for the books he has written about the continuing existence of the soul in the afterlife. His books, together with those of Californian professor of religion, Stafford Beatty, present such a convincing insight into the true nature of mortal death that only the most disparaging of skeptics could not take comfort from them. There is absolutely no way the information in Times and Beatty's books could have been obtained other than by communication from the discarnate soul through a medium. Author of Evolution of Consciousness, Michael Time has become an acknowledged authority on afterlife communication. Here he reviews published accounts of messages from World War I casualties coming through credible mediums. This is an altogether upbeat, reassuring and enlightening book with many insights into discarnate existence from those on the spot. The original texts are interspersed with informative commentary from the author. Howard A. Jones, PhD, author of The World as Spirit and Evolution of Consciousness. More reports. We have reason to be grateful to Michael Time for his masterly presentations of evidence both for our survival after death, and also descriptions of the nature of the afterlife. I have been fascinated and moved by his abridgment of five books coming out of WW1 involving communication from Soldiers Guild in that war, in which they describe their experiences in their new state. I found it an inspiring and uplifting read. As an Episcopalian, Anglican clergyman, I long for the time when church congregations will read such books and have an informed faith in the realm of spirit. Michael Cox, MANZ, M.A. Oxon, editor of The Ground of Faith. Still more reports. Michael Time has collected post-death sayings from Soldiers Guild in the First World War. They tell us through mediums how they died, what life on the other side is like, and how we should look at death. They want to be our teachers, and Time, one of the world's foremost experts on afterlife communication, allows them to speak for themselves. The result is an eye-opening revelation of a world we are all about to enter. Stafford Beatty, PhD, author of The Afterlife Unveiled and Heaven and Hell Unveiled. And this report, Michael Time has once again created powerful literary magic by spinning together a collection of related psychic, spiritual materials from five separate books into an edited synopsis form. Those books by various authors all relate to contact from deceased men of WWI, through well-known spiritual mediums of the day, to the families of the deceased. For the unrepentant skeptics, of course, this is all so much hogwash, but for those either interested or reasonably open-minded, We are given a brilliant summary of the case for survival of consciousness after death, as well as a concentrated description of life in the hereafter and of the very process of spirit communication itself. For the better informed readers, this book brings together a share of a number of historically important books from the early years of modern spiritualism, highly significant for their day, as well as for the present. Read, and be moved. Paul D. Biskup, Ph.D. Cultural Anthropologist. Communication from World War I. War is Hell. We can thank U.S. Civil War General William Tecumseh Sherman for that famous quote. But if war brings out the beast in man, it also brings out the best in man, a willingness to sacrifice oneself for a fellow soldier, or for a noble cause, to demonstrate courage and compassion at great personal risk, and motivation to reflect on the flawed society and culture we humans have created. 7 million soldiers and 10 million civilians perished a century ago in World War I, 1914-1918. Dead Men Talking features 5 British and American soldiers killed during this horrific war to end all wars, posthumously sharing their thoughts, how they died, where they found themselves right after death, and what they feel about the war and their post-mortem life in spirit. They communicate with the living in different ways. 3 use a medium, the 4th via automatic writing, and the 5th rather curiously by psychokinetically working a telegraph key, but collectively their message is strikingly similar. We're set on Earth with free will, permitted to choose good or evil, love or hate, war or peace, without interference from the divine. Death is a transition, not extinction. Bad choices in this life can have negative consequences in the next, but we're all given as much time and as many lives as we need to finally get it right. New Age nonsense? But Author Time has produced 6 excellent, meticulously documented books to date on the controversial subject, serving up strong evidence the reality of at least some mediumistic communications. And those in the afterlife continue to deliver the same basic philosophical message, over and over. About the author Michael Time. A 1958 graduate of the San Jose State University School of Journalism, BA Public Relations, Michael Time had 2 concurrent careers after spending 3 years as an officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, one as an insurance claims representative, supervisor, and manager, and the other as a freelance journalist. In his 40-year insurance career, Mike was called upon daily to apply the scientific method by weighing evidence in various types of civil claims and litigation and to make decisions relative to settling the claims or allowing them to go to trial. He also served as an arbitrator for the insurance arbitration forums, making decisions in certain civil disputes. He holds the professional designations of Chartered Property and Casualty Underwriters, CPCU, and Associate in Claims, Insurance Institute of America, IC. As a journalist, Mike has contributed more than 1,500 articles to some 50 publications over the past 50 years. Writing assignments have taken him to such diverse places as Bangkok, Panama, Glastonbury, Jerusalem, Hollywood, St. Paul, and Tombstone. He currently serves as editor of the Journal for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies and the Searchlight, both quarterly publications of the Academy for Spirituality and Consciousness Studies. His metaphysical and paranormal articles have appeared in Atlantis Rising, Fate, Mysteries, Vital Signs, Venture Inward, Nexus, Psychic News, Psychic Times, Christian Parapsychologist, To Worlds, Dark Law, Alternatives, Alternate Perceptions, The Honolulu Advertiser, The Honolulu Star Bulletin, and The Honolulu Star Advertiser. He has authored 7 books: The Articulate Dead, Running on Third Wind, The Afterlife Revealed, Transcending the Titanic, The Afterlife Explorers, Resurrecting Leonora Piper, and Dead Men Talking. The last 5 published by White Crow Books. Mike is convinced that the hedonism, turmoil, and chaos we see in the world today are primarily the result of religious and scientific fundamentalism. While religious leaders have rejected modern revelation and have been unable to offer its faithful anything more than a very humdrum heaven, Science has arrogantly dismissed all religion as superstition. The end result is that people no longer take the survival of consciousness at death seriously, and therefore life has lost its meaning. Consequently, the majority of people selfishly strive to become one with their toys in a march toward extinction. Having devoted much time to the study of psychical research over the past two decades, Mike has found strong evidence for the survival of consciousness and a more intelligent afterlife than that provided by orthodox religion. He says he is impelled to bring this evidence to the attention of others, especially those in despair. A former nationally ranked distance runner, Mike writes a monthly column for a national track and field publication. He is a native of Alameda, California, and now lives in Kailua, Hawaii with his wife Gina. Publisher, White Crow Books, published July 2014, 174 pages.